morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 22. The book of Daniel, chapter 3, verse 22.
Daniel chapter 3 verse 22 reads this way. It says, "Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We thank you again for the privilege of assembling together in your house, and in Lord, being reminded that we're two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we do want to take this time to thank you for your presence this morning. We do ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide each and every one of our hearts, Lord, to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them as only you can. And Lord, for those of us who know you as Savior, may you strengthen the faith, may you increase our faith, that your name might be highly exalted and honored and glorified, and that your kingdom, Lord, would be here on earth as it is in heaven. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, "The Form of the Fourth is Like the Son of God." Isn't that amazing? The form of the fourth. Nebuchadnezzar's own lips, a lost man, saw the Son of God in the burning fiery furnace. And so God is on the throne in every circumstance and in every situation. And this morning what we're going to look at is when the lost can see our life in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the lost can see God in our life. That's important. That's a testimony that God wants to give you and I. Not for you and I to try to develop on our own. Not for you to try to muster it up and do it in our strength. But God wants to do that for you and I. So this morning, three thoughts. And the first is a command against God's commandment. And by the way, this is the process that takes place if the Lord is going to use us in such a way to where the lost can see the testimony of God in our lives. And not only that, not just for the lost, but also for the saved. Isn't it great to see the presence of God in the life of His children as far as believers are concerned? Aren't we encouraged when we see people faithfully serving the Lord and uplifting the Lord in their lives? And so it's also a blessing for the redeemed. So as we consider that, again, there's a command against God's commandments. This is the process that takes place. The Chaldeans' accusation, or the accusation against the truth or by the unrighteous individuals, and then King Nebuchadnezzar's ultimatum and the results. And so these steps are important. They take place in the life of the believer. And before we get started here, I want you to see something is getting ready. Of course, we've seen the result of it here, where it's going to upset King Nebuchadnezzar concerning the three Hebrew children and their position because of their relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ, or their relationship with the Lord. So anytime we stand up for the Lord, in Sunday school class this morning, Brother Jason mentioned, we have a target on our back. Amen? And we do. The devil doesn't like that. The devil doesn't want the Lord highly exalted and lifted up. And so we will receive opposition in our lives. The Lord said, listen, if you serve me, don't be surprised when that happens, because the world didn't like the Lord. In fact, the Lord said that the world hated him. And if the world hates him, they're going to hate us as well. And so not that we have any animosity or any hard feelings, but we realize that their eyes have been withheld or darkened from the truth, and we want to be the light of the Lord by the grace of God, that they too might have eternal life as God has given to us. So these things are important. But I want you to see King Nebuchadnezzar's testimony about the Lord before we get started. If you'll remember in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar received this vision, And anyway, as he received this vision, he was looking for the interpretation for it, and he didn't get the interpretation that he was looking for. In fact, he tells us that the dream went away from him, and his magicians and astrologers, they were saying, "Hey, listen, tell us the dream and we'll give you the interpretation." And he says, "You're lying to me if you can't tell me what the dream is." And he says, "And by the way, I can't remember it, but I know I had this." So there was a predicament there. And so the king was so upset that he said, "Let's wipe them all out, including Daniel and his three Hebrew friends." Well, if you remember, they prayed, they got together, had a prayer session, and then they brought forth Daniel, and then they told the king, "This man will be able to give you the interpretation." Isn't that something? But the Lord speaking through Daniel and working through Daniel said, "Oh, it's not me, it's not in man, but the God of heaven will reveal these things to you." And here's what Nebuchadnezzar said, if you will, back in chapter 2, and notice verse 46. Chapter 2, verse 46, "Then Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshiped." Isn't that amazing? This is King Nebuchadnezzar because he received a revelation from the Lord, and yet in the next breath, he's getting ready to go ahead and set up a false idol and command that everybody worships it. Listen, you know, the statistics bear out through some studies, and I'm not privy to the studies, but they say it takes about 7.6 times that we witness to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ before they're really ready to open up and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So don't be surprised when they reject. Maybe it's the first time, maybe it's the second, maybe it might take them 9 times. But what happens is, as we faithfully stand for the Lord by His mercy and grace, God will be faithful to work in the lives of these people that we're working with. So notice again verse 46. "Then Nebuchadnezzar," the king Nebuchadnezzar, fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret." Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. So he's next to the king, is he not? I mean, he set up Daniel in such a way. And by the way, Daniel says, I would like my three Hebrew friends here also to help me out with this work. And the king obliged that. He allowed that. So there was a relationship that King Nebuchadnezzar had with Daniel and the three Hebrew children. In fact, by the way, he chose them because he saw that they were fairer and wiser than all the others at the very beginning when they were taken captive. So here we have King Nebuchadnezzar, who's got a wonderful relationship and even God working in his life and answering his questions that he has, and yet he's going to turn around and flip the script, if you will, on these individuals. But I want you to see the grace of God working in the lives of these three Hebrew children and also in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. So let's take note here. In fact, look if you will with me in chapter 3, verse 1. Notice this command against God's commandment. Nebuchadnezzar, verse 1 says there of chapter 3, "The king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." So he did this all on his own, and he is putting everybody in an obligated area or place in their lives where they're going to need to worship this, and of course that's against the Hebrew children's faith in the Lord God. Verse 3 says, "Then the princes, the governors, and the captains and judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. So all of them, but we know the three Hebrew children didn't. So can you imagine this scene? I don't know how many peoples, but I just get a multitude of people that were there. This was a big thing, and he's the world power. They're all bowing down, and when everybody's bowing down and three are standing, they stick out like a sore thumb. And so here they are, they're standing out, and what takes place? Well, we find here that the Chaldeans begin to accuse Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Listen, anytime we stand for the Lord, mark it down, the world will stand against us. And by the way, if it benefits them, they're going to do that. But notice the humility. I want you to see the grace of God actively involved and engaging these three Hebrew children. We'll see that here in just a moment. Nebuchadnezzar can't see straight when we get into this text here. We'll find out he is really put out with them. He has been defied in his own heart and mind. He has completely forgotten about the God of heaven that he was praising just a moment ago. And by the way, I would dare say, if you remember back in chapter 1, they wanted to feed Daniel and his three Hebrew friends meat from the king's table and the wine which he drank, and they wanted no part of it because it had been offered to idols and it was something that they didn't want to participate in. So they asked the tenant to them if he would please excuse them from participating in this kind of food, that they would just eat fruits and vegetables, basically pulse to eat is what it said there. And so he says, you're going to endanger my head. If the king sees you looking bad, he's going to want my head for your not looking so well. And they said, give us 10 days. And if we look worse, then we won't go through with it. So what happens is God blesses, and they do look better, don't they? And so God bless them. Do you think they had time to praise the Lord and worship God for blessing and honoring what they were doing for the glory of the Lord? Not only that, then remember he received that dream that we were talking about, and their lives were at stake, and God gave them the answer. And so they're on the top of the mountain, as we spoke about this morning in Sunday school class. And they were, I believe they were worshiping, they were thanking the Lord, and so was Nebuchadnezzar, believe it or not. He was thanking God that he could reveal this dream. But now, all of a sudden, he sets up this golden image, and he's wanting everybody to worship it, and he doesn't care what your beliefs are anymore. He doesn't care about the God of Israel anymore. He's concerned about his own self. We would call that pride. Look at verse 8. He says, wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. These are the accusers of the brethren. These are people that are in the world. They don't care. They would rather get, if you will, they would rather get recognition for doing the king a favor and maybe some notoriety and maybe a blessing at the hand of the king for revealing this. But they were not friends to the Jews here. Verse 9. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. He says here, thou king hast made a decree. Remember here, we want to remind you about your, he didn't forget about it, but they want to say, you know what, we honor you. So he says, you've made this decree, and they're sliding this here. So again, verse 10, thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So who knows what the time lapse is, but these three individuals are known by the king specifically because he positioned them with Daniel to be over all of Babylon under him. So they named them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, and that's the truth. They worship, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up, and that's true. But look at Nebuchadnezzar's disposition, because they are honoring their God, and they are not honoring him. He gets all bent out of shape. So notice verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, that in our vernacular, we might say steam was coming out of his ears. He was so mad. And notice he says, He says, listen, is it true? He says, I don't get this. I'm not so sure. I don't understand what you're doing here. And again, verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye will not worship, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Well, he just picked a fight with God. Amen? And not only did he pick a fight with the Lord, but he also picked a fight with the servants of God that were faithful to the Lord and that had a walk with the Lord. You know, God says that he honors those that honor him. If you and I want to be on the right side, may we honor God with how much of obeying, how much of God's word? We need to obey all of God's word. May we not make any concessions or excuses or compromises with the world or with our flesh in giving leeway that we might discredit or not conform to the word of God. Lord, I can't do it by myself, but I know you want me to be like you. Amen. You want to transform me into your likeness, even here on this side of planet Earth, of heaven. So, Lord, allow your work to take place in my life, and we ought to pursue that as these three Hebrew children did. And so they said, is it true? I don't understand what's going on. And he says in verse 15, now, if ye be ready at what time you hear the sound of all the music, he says, fine. But notice the answer here in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, listen, to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. We don't have to think about it. We have already made up our minds a long time ago. It is important, I believe, for every child of God to say, it is important for me to walk upright before the Lord, more than anybody else. Verse 17, he says, if it be so, our God whom we serve, and he knew that, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. What are they saying? Ultimately, we're going to be in his presence. They said, listen, he could deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. Let me ask you this question. Where was their confidence? Were they fearful and concerned about their lives, or was their confidence in God Almighty, no matter what the results would be? They were confident, were they not? They weren't concerned about the king's command. They were more concerned about God's command. And they had more confidence that God could work out anything he wanted to work out for his honor and glory and for their good. That's a good place to be, and that keeps us from stepping back away from the commands of God and double thinking, if you will, or maybe compromising the word of God. We don't have to do that because we are in the hands of God. And so here he's saying, I want you to know, we're not careful. We've already made up our minds, and he's able to deliver us. But look at verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And everybody lived happily ever after that. No, they didn't. And by the way, the world's not going to be happy with us either when we say, you know what, I want to be faithful, and I want to walk faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, who gave me eternal life. They won't understand that. What God says is right, and what God says is wrong is wrong. And the world may have its idea of what right and wrong is, but if it conflicts with the Word of God, it's not right. We will not stand before any human being, but we will all stand before God one day. And boy, oh boy, what a fearful thing it is to fall in the hands of a righteous and holy God who maybe we have defied. It's for people to say, and again, I'm not trying to put my finger in anybody's eye, but the truth of the matter is, if God says marriage is between a man and a woman, marriage is between a man and a woman. If God says, listen, homosexuality is a sin, it's a sin. And we don't do any favors to anybody to not tell them the truth. Brother George, you might offend them. I promise you more. Listen, we will offend them more if we don't tell them and they stand before the Lord. And they would say, my goodness, why didn't somebody tell? Where were all of God's people? Well, you know, we didn't want to stick out like a sore thumb. We were kind of, maybe we were bowing to the false image that the world system is setting up. The world system is saying, this is the way. And God says, no, it's not. This is the right way. And we do God honor and glory to stand up for the truth. And he will honor us and honor his word as we stand for the truth. And again, we're not trying to stick our finger in anybody's eye and trying to upset them. I am thankful that somebody told me that my sins have separated me from my Heavenly Father. And that I had no way of eternal life unless I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's his righteousness that gives me eternal life. There's nothing I can give God. And you know what? I saw myself for the first time utterly helpless. Because here's what I thought. I'm not a bad person. God's going to weigh out my good and my bad. I'll go to heaven. And I believed in heaven. I believed in God. I didn't know him one bit. And isn't it amazing? You know, you can talk to people today and you can ask them. And it's quite interesting. You can ask them if they believe in God and they may say no. You can ask the same people, do you believe in heaven and hell? And they can say no. And then you can say, listen, let me ask you a question. Hitler today, where is he at today? And they'll say in hell. They don't believe in it, but they'll say no. And if you die, where do you think you'll go? Guess what they'll say? Heaven. I think I'll go to, I thought you didn't believe in heaven and hell. And we're not trying to be funny here, but the case, listen, God has put in our hearts and in our minds without us even realizing an understanding of the truth of heaven and hell. The Bible says that the lost person will be without excuse because when they chose to glorify the creature more than God, when they knew God, they glorified him not. And that's in Romans chapter 1, that they blasphemed God in rejecting the truth. So in the heart of every human being, and that's just a loving God that we have, every individual knows that there is a God. Everybody knows that nothing makes itself, right? How can nothing make itself? Something has to, when you look at everything, you know something made it, right? It doesn't just happen, nothing happens by itself. If anything happens by itself, it's deterioration, not something being erected or created. It has to be involved with a creator. And so we know that there's a creator. So here they are, they're standing up for the Lord. And they said, we don't have to be careful in this. And notice the results here. In verse 19, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage, his countenance, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He thought he was being merciful. Therefore he spake and commanded, notice this, that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Than it was able to be heated. He says, I want this, I want them. Remember what they said. God can deliver us out of your hands. You know what he was making sure of? There's no way that God is going to deliver them out of my hands. That's what he was thinking. There is no way. You know what he was doing? He was defying God Almighty. Can a human being ever defy God? No. No. Listen, God's will be done. And it behooves the believer to walk upright before the Lord because God's will be done. God says, I will judge him. By the way, you remember what he says? He says, judgment will begin in my house first. Listen, God is not angry at the world. God, if anybody he's disappointed with, it would be with his own people for not obeying him. It's not the world's responsibility to bring light into the world. It's the people of God that are supposed to be the light and the salt of the earth. Now, I understand that once we are saved, we are no longer under condemnation. But I don't want to stand in judgment of my God for being unfaithful to him. I don't know what that's going to be like, but I would dare say it'll be a huge disappointment. And I don't want to be a disappointment to the one who loved me enough to give me his own son. Isn't that amazing? How much love was that? I had the privilege of sharing Christ with somebody here just I think last week it was, very recent here. And anyway, he did not quite grasp this idea of the love of God. And I said, you have a best friend growing up? Oh yeah, I knew this person since I was 6 years old. And he gave me the name of the individual. And this individual here had children. And I said, what if this person was in jail? And you said, you know, I love my friend so much that I am willing to do whatever I'll borrow money, I'll sell things. If there's something I can do to get my best friend out of jail, because we're like brothers. Right? He was saying, he was thinking, you know, we were very close. And I said, would you do that? Yeah, I would do that. I said, but what if the judge says, here's what we'll do. We'll take your firstborn child in exchange for your friend's freedom. And he didn't even answer. He was just going like this. No, shaking his head. No way. But not only that, but you are going to have to allow the execution of your child. And you know what they said? Absolutely not. You'd have to be out of your mind. And I agree. I couldn't do it either. Do you know that that's what God the Father did for you and I when he gave us his son? Do you know that nobody could have taken the Lord's life unless the Father allowed it? And do you know that he allowed it because he loves you and I? That boggles my mind. Do you remember when the Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's when the sins of all of humanity was placed upon our Savior, and God the Father, being a holy and righteous God, allowing his Son to be our sacrifice, turned his face from his Son for you and I, because of the love that he had for you and I. That astounds me. That amazes me. And you know, that ought to humble us and say, God, who am I? Who am I? What do you and I deserve? We deserve condemnation. We deserve to die in hell. And the Lord took it for us. We ought to walk, of all people, most humbly and say, Lord, whatever you want to do. Lord, not my will. Isn't that what our Savior said? Oh, and did he suffer some things when he said, not my will? Did some things go against him when he said, not my will, but yours be done? Absolutely. How about us? Can we allow things when they don't go the way that we would like for them to go and say, Lord, I trust you. I'm going to trust you even in this situation. Or do we get ourselves all worked up in a lather, as they used to say, and get upset and ruin the testimony of the grace of God in our lives? Do you know these three Hebrew children could have complained and said, Nebuchadnezzar, don't you remember when you appointed us to be your rulers? Don't you remember when God gave you? They didn't do any of that. They didn't bring up any of the past. They put their faith and their trust in the Lord in the midst of this difficulty or of this trial. And so here's this situation that's taking place in their lives. And this king is saying, make the fire seven times hotter than it's supposed to be. Then notice this, verse 20. And he commanded the most mighty men, like these guys are hardened criminals or something. And he commanded the most mighty men, his strongest men that were in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. He's so mad, he's overusing his strength. You ever hear that sometimes they can see crimes of passion because they call it overkill. It's overdramatic. They know it's a crime of passion. And this man, no doubt, Nebuchadnezzar, is full of fury and passion in a negative way. And he is trying to destroy the people of God that are standing for the Lord, that are the only ones that could give him eternal hope. God, listen, imagine this. God could appear out of the sky, could he not, and save the whole world? But he chose to save people through your life and mine. I don't understand that. And if that's God's way, isn't it the best way? And if that's the best way, shouldn't you and I have faith and trust in God's way? That, Lord, you can even use, even if I stammer, even if I stumble, Lord, you can still communicate salvation to lost souls. And so here he is, he's all upset. Verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats and in their hosen and in their hats and in their other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's how mad he was. His own mighty men were killed. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I would dare say he thought he was going to have his way with these guys. I dare say he thought it was going to work exactly how he had planned out all in his little mind. But you know what didn't fit there? Our God in his little mind. See, God's plans are greater than our plans. We may think some things, but oh, listen, He was surprised to see what he saw. You know what scares me? There are going to be people that are going to be fearful to see and be surprised to find out that there is and always has been a God in heaven that is a holy and righteous judge. And you know what I'm afraid to say? I'm afraid to say that there are going to be those that Jesus talks about that are going to say, "But Lord, Lord." Matthew chapter 7. "But Lord, Lord, this is what we did. And this is what we didn't do. And this is what we thought. And this is what we didn't want to think." They had their own righteousness. And the Lord says, "I will say to them, in that day, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." That's not a good place to be. And so God, listen, there's a lot at stake here besides the glory of God, which is the ultimate thing, but the souls of mankind are at stake. What is it really that is the most important thing to live if not for the glory of God and His kingdom that God created us for? So he's all upset. And verse 23, these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, and this is the grace and mercy of God, and by the way, also seen in the lives of these three Hebrew children because they never complained. Isn't that good? They never complained. You know, it does not serve the child of God well to complain. It does not serve. Listen, it's a horrible thing. We are the sheep of the Lord. And if we're feeding on the Lord and on the manna, we don't have anything to complain about if God's taking care of us. Verse 24, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to his counselors, 'Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?' They answered and they said unto the king, 'True, O king, this is the truth. This is what you did.' He answered and said, 'Lo, I see four men, notice, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.'" Who was with them in the fire? The Lord Jesus Christ was right there in the fire with them. And by the way, listen, if the Lord wants us to go into the fire, shall we not go? "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." How yielded are we to the will of God? Verse 26, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God.'" There it is again, isn't it? His heart was turned, wasn't it? Why was his heart turned? Because of the faithfulness of the three Hebrew children and God's great faithfulness to the three Hebrew children. Do you know, as we faithfully walk with the Lord and trust Him, no matter what the fire might be that He would have us go through, He will glorify Himself in and through our lives, and ultimately, the lost world will see the light of God in your life and mine. That's the way the Lord has chosen here, even in the Old Testament, to glorify His name. He has chosen His people that He might glorify, as a royal priesthood. Is that not what the New Testament says? That He might glorify Himself in and through our lives. "Then Nebuchadnezzar," verse 26, "came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, spake and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither.' Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire." You know, they were in the presence of the Lord. I'm sure the Lord encouraged them to go on, but I would dare say that they were in a good place wherever the Lord's at. You mean to tell me in a fire, Brother George, you'd say they're in a good place? Absolutely. Wherever the Lord is, that is a good place. And sometimes it's in the midst of a fire or a trial. Verse 27, "And the princes and governors and captains and kings' counselors being gathered together saw these men." Notice the testimony. All these people, by the way, some of these people may have been the ones that accused the three Hebrew children and said, "You know, you remember these people over here? We don't like them. they're not obeying you, king." Again, verse 27, "And the princes and governors and captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him.'" That's the testimony of a lost man. You don't see his salvation till the next chapter. Right here, listen, that's what he's seeing. So here's the question. What is the world seeing in your life and mine? What is the world seeing when things don't go our way? When we supposedly have a fiery trial? And we do have trials and hardships. I don't think none like these children did, but they do. We do have trials. How are we standing in the presence of our God and a lost and dying world? And so they were amazed. And so again, verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. That's all that's required of us. And have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies. Listen to that. And yielded their bodies. Should you and I yield our bodies? That they might not serve nor worship the God except any God except their own God. We should not yield our bodies to serve the flesh, the world, or Satan. But our God alone. Whatever the Lord says. Even if it conflicts with the flesh. Lord, that's why Paul said it's important that the flesh be crucified. How often? Daily. That the flesh be daily crucified. You don't think that's a real battle? You don't think that can hinder the walk of God in our lives and the will of God in our lives? Absolutely it can. And you and I will give an account for that before the Lord. And if we are walking in opposition to that, it's not going to be a pretty picture, saved child of God. It won't be a pretty picture, I promise you. There'll be lots of regrets. Brother George, why do you say that to us? Because it would be better to fix it here and now than before the Lord where you can't. It would be better to say, Lord, I'm sorry for doing things my way instead of your way. And notice again, verse 29. Therefore I make a decree. This is this lost man. That every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Houses shall be made, a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Do you know that God wants to show that kind of a testimony in our lives? We may confront somebody that is in opposition to the truth, but if we pray for them, And we love them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we seek another opportunity to tell them about the God of heaven that loves them. Do you know God can change their hearts as he did the heart of Nebuchadnezzar? He can change their hearts and minds. I know that because he changed mine. I had my ideas, and you know what my ideas were? They were in contrast to the Word of God. So you know what that means they were? They were wrong. All of them. All of them were wrong. All of my ideas were wrong. And do you know what? My ideas aside of the Word of God are still wrong. They'll still be wrong. If the Word of God says something and we do something contrary to it and we don't confess it before the Lord and want to yield ourselves to the right way, we will be walking in opposition to the Word and will of God. And you and I only have this side of eternity. And do you know what? Listen. It amazes me. How far away are we from eternity? What are we, 50 years from eternity? 20 years? 10? Or maybe the next moment? We ought to praise the Lord. There are accidents that happen in this country and in this state all the time. There are people that their lives are changed. All the time. We don't know when our last day on earth is going to be. God does, though. How shall we walk? How shall we walk with the time that we have remaining? For ourselves or for the Lord? Who were these three Hebrew children walking for and living for? Who were they living for? God. Do you think they heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I think so. Do you think they were mightier than we? No. No. It pleases God to use imperfect man. Why? I don't have the answers. But he will use you and I if we're willing to trust him. Notice the last verse, verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. He was the king of Babylon. Do you know where the greatest promotion is going to come from? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day. And that promotion is on the horizon for every child of God. On the horizon, that promotion. But let us not take it for granted and live the way we think, but according to the word and will of God for His kingdom and His glory. Amen? Would you stand with me? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation and an opportunity to draw nearer to the Lord, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace toward each and every one of us. Lord, if there's one here that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may You speak to them as only You can and allow them to see that they need to know You as Savior and to receive You. What a simple truth to receive, to believe and receive, that You sent Your Son who died on the cross, shed His blood to pay for our sins, and You give it to us as a gift. There's nothing we can do but simply say, Lord, I believe, and I wish to say I'm sorry and repent of my sins that brought You there, but I thank you for Your willingness to go to the cross to pay for my sins, and I put my faith and trust in You. Such a simple step to make, to know that You have eternal life. And then, Lord, for those of us who profess to know the Lord, is Your life and Your will being lived out in our lives? And if not, why? Why, when You said You have made all the preparations and You have given us all the promises that are for us to have possession of? Bless again Your people, and we'll give You all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.